Chapter 12. A Flash and a Crash. Madame Defarge was talking to her woman friend, Vengeance, and to Jacques Three.
"Defarge is a good Republican and a brave man," Madame Defarge said. "But he has certain weaknesses. He feels sorry for Dr. Manette."
"That's a shame,"
Jacques Three said solemnly.
"A good citizen should not feel sorry."
Madame Defarge raised her hand for silence. Jacques Three was instantly quiet.
"I don't mind about the doctor," Madame Defarge said. "He can go free for all that I care. But Evremonde's family is a different matter. The wife and child must die."
"The wife is beautiful,"
Jacques Three commented.
"She would look good on the guillotine."
He rubbed his hands together eagerly.
"It'd be a pretty sight."
"I'm afraid my husband may warn them," Madame Defarge said ominously. "I'm going to visit the wife now. She will be sad at Evremonde's death and may say something against the Republic. That will give us the chance we need."
"What a woman you are!"
Vengeance cried in admiration.
"Indeed,"
Jacques Three agreed with her.
"And a real friend to the Republic."
"Take my knitting," Madame Defarge told Vengeance. "Keep my usual seat for me. I'll join you before the executions begin."
"You won't be late?"
Vengeance asked anxiously.
"You'll be there before the tumbrils arrive, won't you? Before they arrive?"
she repeated excitedly. Madame Defarge nodded, and then she walked away from her two friends. She carried a pistol and a knife hidden in her clothes, and her heart was fixed on hatred and revenge. Mr. Lorry had made his plans carefully the night before. He had decided that Miss Pross and Jerry should leave Paris at 3 o'clock in a small carriage. They would join the coach with the other passengers as soon as they could on the road outside Paris. As Madame Defarge was making her way through the streets to the house, Jerry and Miss Pross were making plans of their own. They had seen Charles Darnay being put into the coach, and they had seen the coach drive away.
"I'm so worried about them,"
Miss Pross said tearfully.
"They must get away safely, Mr. Cruncher. But if the people see a second carriage leaving the house, they may get suspicious. That's what worries me, Mr. Cruncher. I think you should go out and stop the vehicle and horses from coming here. Take them to the cathedral,"
she suggested.
"Wait for me there. That would be best, wouldn't it, Mr. Cruncher?"
"Perhaps you're right, ma'am,"
Jerry agreed.
"But I'd rather not leave you here alone,"
he added doubtfully.
"Don't worry about me,"
Miss Pross told him quickly.
"Wait for me at the cathedral at 3 o'clock, Mr. Cruncher."
Jerry left the house at 2:20, and Miss Pross went inside to get ready for the journey. She was very nervous and kept looking around to make sure that no one had come into the house. As she walked from one room to another, she became aware that there was someone else in the house. She looked around in panic and saw Madame Defarge standing next to her. Madame Defarge looked coldly at the Englishwoman.
"Where is Evremonde's wife?" she demanded.
Miss Pross thought quickly. All the doors were open. If Madame Defarge looked into the rooms, she would immediately see that the family had gone. There were four doors in the room. Miss Pross closed them all. Then she stood with her back to the door that had been Lucy's bedroom. Madame Defarge watched Miss Pross suspiciously. The two women stared at each other with instinctive distrust.
"You might be the wife of Lucifer,"
Miss Pross commented.
"But I am an Englishwoman. You won't get past me."
Madame Defarge knew that Miss Pross was devoted to the family. For her part, Miss Pross knew that Madame Defarge was the family's enemy.
I'm on my way to the executions, Madame Defarge said. I have come to say hello to Evremonde's wife. Where is she?
I know you're an evil woman,
Miss Pross replied.
But I'll fight you to the end.
Each woman spoke her own language, and neither of them understood a word of what the other said. They looked at each other with defiance and hatred, and they did not need words to understand that a terrible battle was going on between them.
Evremonde's wife should not hide herself away from me, Madame Defarge said. It could be dangerous for her to hide. People might think she was an enemy of the Republic. Where is she?
I'll never give in to you,
Miss Pross replied.
I'll fight you to the end, you wicked woman.
Madame Defarge understood from the tone of Miss Pross's voice that she was in the presence of an enemy.
Fool! She cried out in anger. You don't matter to me! It's Evremonde's wife I want! Take me to her immediately, or get out of my way!
Madame Defarge took a step forward towards the door of Lucy's room. Miss Pross braced herself for the struggle. The two women continued to stare at each other.
Dr. Manette! Evremonde's wife! Where are you?
There was no reply to Madame Defarge's sudden call. She continued to look at Miss Pross, and then Madame Defarge understood that they had gone. She ran quickly around the room and opened three of the four doors. She could see that possessions had been removed from the rooms. She turned angrily to Miss Pross.
There is no one in that room behind you, she said accusingly. Let me look!
Never,
Miss Pross announced firmly. She understood exactly what Madame Defarge wanted.
If they're not there in that room, I can have them brought back to Paris,
Madame Defarge said to herself.
As long as you don't know whether they're in that room or not, you don't know what to do,
Miss Pross said to herself.
And I'll never let you leave this house.
Get away from the door, Madame Defarge said threateningly.
She moved suddenly towards Miss Pross. Miss Pross took hold of the Frenchwoman around the waist and held on to her tightly. Madame Defarge struggled wildly and scratched Miss Pross's face cruelly with her nails. Miss Pross continued holding her. Madame Defarge felt inside her clothing for her pistol. She drew the weapon out and prepared to fire at Miss Pross. The Englishwoman saw the pistol and knocked it out of her enemy's hand. Miss Pross saw a flash of light, and she heard a crash. Then she found herself standing alone in the room. Madame Defarge was lying at her feet. She looked down. Madame Defarge was dead. Miss Pross looked at the body of her enemy for a few minutes, and then she turned her mind to what she needed to do next. She put on a bonnet and veil that covered the terrible scratches on her face and walked out of the house. She walked quickly to the cathedral and waited for Jerry to come with a carriage. She had not been waiting for more than 5 minutes when he arrived. She climbed into the carriage hurriedly and they drove away.
Is there any noise in the streets?
Miss Pross asked anxiously.
Just the usual noises,
Jerry told her.
I can't hear you,
Miss Pross said.
What did you say?
Jerry looked at her in surprise. He noticed the marks on her face, and he saw her clothing was torn and disordered.
Is there any noise in the streets now?
She asked again. Jerry nodded at her. He could hear the tumbrils rolling heavily through the streets, carrying the prisoners to the guillotine.
There's the roll of those dreadful carts,
he told her.
Can you hear that, miss?
I can't hear anything, she said softly. There was a flash and a crash. After that, there was a great stillness, and I don't think I'll ever hear anything again as long as I live.
If she can't hear the roll of those dreadful carts, she never will hear anything else in this world,
Jerry thought. And indeed, she never did.